Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company. Ever wonder what the USDA certified organic label on your food stands for? Or what the difference is between organic and all natural? You might be surprised. Visit stonyfield.com to understand what organic means and why it's really worth it. We're proud to be making organic yogurt and honored to support living on Earth, and hope you will too. Donate at loe.org.
And now for a trip to a very weird planet. If you blast off from Earth, head for the constellation the Serpent Bearer, and travel 40 years at the speed of light, you'll hit the planet GJ-1214b. It's known as a super-Earth because of its size, nearly three times Earth's diameter. It weighs seven times as much and orbits a red dwarf star. But those are not the attributes that make GJ-1214b unique. It turns out it's a totally new type of planet. Zachary Berta made the discovery along with a team of astronomers at the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics.
We think that GJ-1214b is a planet that has a lot of water in it. I mean, a lot of water in it. So if the planet really is made out of a large fraction of water, you'd expect that its atmosphere would also have a lot of water on it. And so we went and measured that atmosphere with the Hubble Space Telescope, and we found that it looks like that atmosphere is made of a lot, in a large fraction of water.
So you have a watery planet.
Yeah.
But there are watery planets. I mean, we got three quarters of our planet is watery. That's not unique, is it?
Three quarters of the surface of our planet is water, but only a tiny fraction of a percent of the mass of our planet overall is water.
So GJ-1214b?
We're talking about something that would be a lot more watery. So you could have thousands of kilometers of water on the surface of this planet, if you could find a surface to it at all.
Well, it's very close to this sun that it orbits, right?
Yeah.
So it would be very hot.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the really strange things about this, is that because the temperature is so high, it wouldn't be water in any form that we would know it. You'd have steam on the outside. That's probably the closest point of comparison we have, is the outer atmosphere of this planet is probably about the, you know, it's the temperature of a hot oven. So it could be like where you would bake a baguette or something. This is a steamy, roasty oven. We know that. But as you dive deeper into this planet, you start getting into much higher pressures. And so the water takes on a very different form. You wouldn't have a liquid water ocean like on Earth. You might have solid water, but at very high temperatures, super fluid water, all of these very very strange substances.
I heard it described as hot ice.
Yeah, so that would be one way to describe it.
So what would it look like if I were to travel there? What would I see?
I don't really know. Frankly, I've had a lot of trouble kind of imagining what this planet is like. And part of that is because there still is a lot that we don't know about it.
How do you know anything? You mentioned the Hubble Space Telescope.
Yep. So we watch the planet as it passes in front of its star, as seen from Earth. And a tiny fraction of the star's light will filter through the planet's atmosphere before getting to us. And so we can measure the color of that light that has traveled through the planet's atmosphere before getting to us. The analogy I like to make, and this is, I think, actually a pretty good one, is that imagine you're standing on this planet and watching sunset, this beautiful sunset. And it has some color to it. And you could imagine that if the atmosphere of that planet were different, that color could be very different, right?
Uh-huh.
But now imagine the light that passes over your shoulder, that doesn't come to your eyes, but passes over your shoulder and travels on through space for 40 years and then gets to our telescope. With the Hubble Space Telescope, we can kind of measure that sunset on that planet.
It's almost romantic.
Yeah, I think so.
GJ-1214b, where does that romantic name come from?
It's a beautiful name. So in astronomy, we have a tradition of naming bodies that orbit other bodies after them. The star has the number GJ-1214. And so if you find something orbiting GJ-1214, you have to call it GJ-1214b.
So you couldn't name it something like Big Bertha?
No. First, there would be actually my advisor's wife is first in line for the planet names. But it's a problem that we have, that I think at some point, there are going to be a few of these planets that are so interesting to us that we really do want to give them interesting names that, you know, make them easier to remember.
Now, would you be surprised if it turns out it's not this weird water world, but, you know, blue cheese or styrofoam?
I wouldn't be that surprised. Well, I would be a little surprised if it were blue cheese. there's still so much we don't know about many of these planets. And so a lot of the conclusions that we draw about them are based on our modeling of and our understanding of the physics going on in these planets. And a lot of what we say right now is guided by what we know about the universe as a whole, in particular, what we know about the abundance of various elements in the universe. And that's something that's fairly well constrained. So it gives us a good starting point to predict what planets would be like.
The Hubble has really been a tremendous tool to astronomers.
Oh, absolutely.
It's been up there for, well, since 1990, am I right?
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be shut off at about 2 years.
Well, so I think Hubble's going to keep going until as long as it can. With the end of the shuttle program, there'll be no more repair missions, which is something that's made Hubble so useful, is that you can keep upgrading it as the years go by. So without the shuttle, at some point, sadly, the cameras will stop working and things will sort of fade away on Hubble.
Are there plans for a post-Hubble telescope?
Yeah, and so that's something that we're all really excited about. This is a telescope called the James Webb Space Telescope, which is like Hubble, but bigger and better. And it's going to be far away from Earth, and it's observing largely at infrared wavelengths, which is great because it allows you to see back to the beginning of the universe. There's all this incredible astronomy you can do with it. The thing that I'm most excited about with it is that you can study the atmospheres of planets, and specifically study the atmospheres of planets that are not necessarily these weird things like GJ1214b, but planets that could be a little bit cooler and a little bit smaller and could conceivably be host to life.
What's interesting about science in general, and astronomy in particular, is that the more you learn, the weirder it gets.
The thing that makes me really excited about, I guess, as you say, the more we learn, the weirder it gets, is that we're at this really interesting place right now where we only just now have the technology to find planets like these and to observe planets like these and to study their atmospheres, to really start this exploration of what's out there. It makes me really excited to think about what surprises are around the corner.
Well, Zachary Berta, thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Zachary Berta is a grad student astronomer at the Harvard-Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics.